Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, let's get into the second hour here. We still have Doug Thompson on the line, and also joining us now is the 1993 SEC Player of the Year, the College Baseball Hall of Famer, Todd Walker. This is Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo. Guys, it's great to have all of you on. I know Doug's only going to stay with us for a few minutes, but we had, unfortunately, just because of breaks, and we got to pay the groceries, I guess, as Skip would say. Doug was talking about the celebration of life that's going to be taking place at the Maravich Assembly Center next Tuesday. And I know you wanted to say a little bit more about that, Doug, and then say hello to Todd as well.
I do. First of all, how you doing, Todd? Hope you're doing well, buddy. I know that you've had a couple losses here recently, man. And I've been praying for you and your family after you lost your dad recently.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's been a rough month for sure. It starts to make you start to really think about mortality. I thought about life a lot more than I probably should, you know, because you feel like all these moments will last forever. Like my three years at LSU, I feel like I just left, you know, and then when things like this happen, it forces you into a reality to where you don't want to go, you know. But,
yeah.
I mean, it goes without saying, Skip was like a father figure to me.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I know how much he loved you and how much you loved him and all that stuff. And I miss you, brother. And I've been thinking about you before all this and, of course, a lot during it. And I can't wait to see you, unfortunately, under these circumstances. But it's just a tough one. You're right. And speaking of that, I'm hoping you're able to make it. I wanted to just talk a little bit about the event on August 25th. So many people have been really working to make it an event worthy of Skip Burton, which is a one-of-one event. I think it's going to be unbelievable. And, you know, what I wanted to say was, you know, what makes LSU special, especially when you talk about LSU athletics, is what we do here is we show up. I mean, if we're in Omaha, we show up. And Hoover, a big bowl game, even big road games, it's no secret. If you're watching a game on TV and the Tigers are on the road, then one of those commentators are going to talk about how well represented LSU is. And man, when you really think about LSU and the history of LSU athletics and how Skip Burton relates to that, if LSU fans ever showed up, then the 25th at that PMAX should be the night. I mean, there's 11,000 potential spots in there. It's first come, first serve, of course. But, man, if somehow there aren't people out there on the ramps for this evening to celebrate this great man, something's not right. I mean, this is our opportunity. I just learned that the SEC Network, Todd, you probably knew that, is going to broadcast this. ESPN Plus is going to broadcast it. And it's an unbelievable opportunity for our community, for our school, to show the rest of the world how we do it here and how it's why we're so unique. It really does give us this incredible moment to pay honor to this man. And I just can't think of a reason that the PMAC would be as packed as it would be for this event. Not even Bon Jovi, Todd, would I think could sell out the PMAC like Skip Burton will on this night. And I know I can speak for Todd. I can't tell you how much pride, just imagining myself sitting there that night, I can't tell you how much pride I'll have if that place is busting at the seams. It'll be tough for me to sit there with dry eyes, to be honest with you. And I know every player would feel the same way. So if you want to show your respect for Skip Bertman, what he built with all those championships, which is, of course, completely secondary to what the man, who the man was as a human being, that night on August 25th is the night to do it. And I just really hope that the LSU community shows up and do what they do that night. And I hope to see you guys there, Todd. I hope to see you there. And I just hope it's one of the I hope it ends up being an historic event at the Pistol Pete Maravich Assembly Center.
I will definitely be there. Number one, when you mentioned Bon Jovi, it makes me think Garth Brooks did a concert at the PMAC, and the one person he sought out was Skip Bertman. Like, he was like the special guest. I remember when I was playing there of Garth Brooks, and we remember thinking, all right, we knew he was legendary, but this catapults him into a whole nother, you know, realm. The other thing, guys, Jeff and Glenn, I don't know if you've heard Doug's recruiting story, but it's the greatest story ever, not only for how funny it is, but it epitomizes Skip. We knew he was great on the field with the X's and the O's and everything else. But, Doug, have you told them this story?
Well, I know. But the truth is, Terrio the other night and I were talking. He said, you know, two types of players that played for Skip. One that loved him. Of course, that's 99% of us, right? And then there's some guys that just didn't melt well with Skip. And Ryan was trying to understand that. He said he was thinking about, like, why would those guys, how can you not like this guy? And the truth is, he didn't. Those guys didn't like the truth. And the players that did perform for him and play well for him could handle the truth. And that man told me and my mother on my recruiting visit that despite Ron Polk telling me the week before that I was going to be the missing key for Mississippi State to get to Omaha, he looked us dead in our eyes and told them that he was going to go to Omaha with or without me. And And honestly, it's because he said that I was ready to sign that scholarship right then and there. And that's the type of player that he wanted. But he was so truthful. And even Pete Bush, Todd, a very similar story. He recruited him before Eddie got on campus. He told him, look, I'm going to bring you in. I've only got 2.5 players. That's Todd Walker and Russ Johnson and Jason Williams is the half player. We're going to make it to Omaha. We're going to lose. And then the next year, you're not going to play very much because the kid I have coming in next year is better than you. And that's literally what he told the guy on his recruiting visit. And, of course, he got Jeremy Moore to stay with that as well. But the man was – he was truly a one-of-one, Todd. And I said earlier, I just keep trying to focus on how lucky we were to have been a part of his story.
Oh, gosh. I think about – I was praying a lot about where I would go out of high school. I had a full ride to Oklahoma State, a full ride to A&M, and 20% to go to LSU. And I thought,
oh, wow.
Well, that's a big story for Skip. If you know Skip at all, then you know that fits it pretty perfectly. And so as an 18-year-old impressionable kid, obviously you're going to chase the money, you know, and we didn't have NIL back then, but that was my deal. But I just, you know, I talked to Skip. He was at Natchitoches, I think, at a hotel, and they were about to line up against Northwestern State the next day or whatever, and we had a brief conversation. This, by the way, was prior to their first national championship in 1991. This was February of 91. They win it in June. But I signed because, you know, just the few moments I got to spend with Skip and, like, his knowledge of the game, I'd never heard any of this stuff before. And then Beetle Bailey was a big part of that process as well, and Smoke Laval and Dan Canterbury, Mike Bianco at the time. So the cast of characters we had around the LSU baseball program at that time, now it's pretty common that, you know, the knowledge in the game now in college baseball is off the charts. Back then it wasn't. So I knew I was stepping into something special. And then, of course, they win it in 91, we won it in 93, and they rattle off 5 in the next 10 years.
Todd, when you talked to Skip in the hotel in Natchitoches, did he also tell you what he told Doug? Look, you can come to LSU, but if you don't, we're going to win anyway. Did he say something like that?
He did not. Doug watered that story down. I love it when he tells it better. Like, you know, Skip said, let me guess. Ron Polk said, you're the missing link. And he goes, yeah, that's what he said.
Literally, yeah.
Like, he really we're going to win in Omaha because you're with us. Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, well, look, here's the deal. Yeah, we're going to Omaha with or without you. I think it's great. he didn't say that in so many words, but I knew that they didn't need me, you know. And by the way, it wasn't until much, much later that he told me, he goes, you know, we took a chance on you. You were 6 foot, 180 pounds with a broken wing. You know, I had a rotator surgery before my senior year, so I moved from the left side of the infield to the right. And, of course, we had one of the greatest shortstops ever that nobody's heard of in Russ Johnson, except for you guys. so I didn't have to play shortstop. I played second. But I had to do a serious amount of rehab on my arm just to get back. I mean, I remember the doctor telling me I had a 50-50 chance of ever playing baseball again. And that was in high school. So he told me that a few years later, and he was right, you know. So, no, I knew, and Tookie Johnson was there right when I came after 91. So, you know, they had some stars. And I was lined up five deep at second base when I first stepped on campus in the fall of 91. They just won the national championship. Mike Neal, a guy named Keon Cook, whose brother Toy Cook played defensive back for the Saints.
Exactly.
So he was kind of a popular dude on the team, you know. It was tough, and not only was I lined up 4 or 5 deep, I was number 4, so I would have to wait for my ground ball, you know, and Burtman was never out there. He was in his office all the time, so I was thinking, how am I ever going to make this team? Smoke's running all the show, you know, out there, and then when you did see Skip, he had that big vanilla cell phone that was, you know, the size of his head, and
from
he had
Wall
a big
Street.
Head.
From Wall Street with Michael Douglas, yeah, the big phone.
That's right. So that was the visual I have of Skip Burtman sitting there with his legs crossed. If he wasn't smoking a cigar, then he had this big vanilla cell phone that nobody had. So he was rich, right? He was rich because nobody had those cell phones back then. And he finally came out and watched. So then, you know, I got a little nervous, you know. But that's what I wrote on Instagram. I said, you know, it went from the most intimidating situation I've ever been involved in as a freshman when I first walked in. Because, look, this guy was Caesar. This guy was, like, bigger than life. And coming from high school, you don't get in a room with those type of people, right? So when I was finally there, it was intimidating. To 3 years later, becoming a father figure and like one of my best friends, that's the person he was.
Wow. You were telling me on Friday you didn't even know how to wear your hat correctly when you showed up on LSU's campus.
Go look at my freshman picture in the program. I'm sure it's online somewhere, and you'll see my bangs hanging out the top of my hat. I didn't even know how to tuck my bangs in my hat properly. I had like a pleather Kmart glove when I came to LSU. I had no idea about those type of things. So Skip taught me a lot about the technique and all. I could naturally kind of – I understood, you know, using the entire field and not striking out. I wasn't very smart, but I knew if I put the ball in play, I had a chance. But he taught me about the American League, the National League, what gloves are nice, how to wear your hat properly, you know, that type of stuff. And that's what I needed as a freshman.
Hey guys, we could go on forever here. We got Dede Bro that's coming on next. So, we want to certainly give her a runway on this, but it was great catching up with both of you. I know Tuesday is going to be very emotional, but I think it's going to be a great night. Just like you just mentioned, Doug, this is going to be one that I think a lot of people will remember for the rest of their lives. And it's a great opportunity to honor someone that has meant so much, not to obviously you two in particular and Glenn and really the entire community of Baton Rouge in the state of Louisiana. So we're really looking forward to that celebration of life ceremony.
Yeah, I am too. I'll see you guys 25th. Next week.
Yep.
All right, guys, you have a good one.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
We'll catch up with you guys later. So good stuff from them. But as we mentioned early on in the show, another part of the legacy of Skip Burtman was his time as the athletics director. And what he did for women's sports, it does not get the attention that it deserves, but Dede Bro will help give it the attention when we talk to her after this commercial break. So stay tuned for that here on Tiger Rag Radio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back.
All right, it's been a great night already, and it's going to get better here with legendary LSU gymnastics coach D.D. Bro joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. D.D., we don't have a lot of time here because we got coming up on another break in about 7 or 8 minutes, but we wanted to get you on because we're spending this show talking about Skip Bertman and what he meant not only to the LSU baseball program, the LSU athletic department, LSU, Baton Rouge, the state of Louisiana, but he had a profound effect on women's sports too at LSU. So if you could, Skip becomes athletic director in 2001. Do you remember that first meeting that you had with him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember my first meeting with Skip. I remember the multiple endless meetings I had with him at his office or clandestine meetings in the field house or wherever it was. You're not giving me enough time to talk about the impact that atomic personality had on the athletic department and this community and baseball in America. He dotted every I, he crossed every T, and when he became the athletic director, he held everybody to the same standard of excellence that he held himself. And, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, and I talk about everything counts. And he's the original, everything counts. And, you know, when I would sit and talk to him, he said, "Didi, do what I do and do what I tell you to do, and you will be successful." And it became not a fight, because every time I went in with other athletic directors, it was a fight. And Skip changed that. And he said, whoa, we're not fighting about this. You tell me what you need, we're going to figure out a way to get it.
Wow.
And that was not just me. I mean, the impact that he had on our golf program, the impact he had on every sport, how he mentored and cajoled and pushed Yvette Girard to do everything that she did to build that incredible program that is now still thriving. So, you know, you have to appreciate him in many, many more ways than just the X's and O's of bats and balls.
And you really started drawing crowds big time your later years, and that was all you and your hustle, but that was from some of the things Skip told you, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, you know they talk about him having his kids on the street corner giving out schedule cards. You know, we did that every single week before we had a home meet.
Mm-hmm.
We did everything that they did, and we did it in spades.
Yeah,
because you know, when he came here, there might have been, you know, people. I had lunch with a bunch of the old guys today, and they were saying, "Oh, we had 500 people when Skip got here." No. We had 50 people when Jim Smith was coaching. Because let's not forget, Jim Smith was sharing his time with equipment.
Right.
He was the equipment manager for football.
Football wow. helmets were in his baseball office,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then in comes Jack LeMay, and what a great character he was. And he began to build because he was so delightful and so much fun. And, you know, they were laughing today, Paul Maneri and Billy Guyot and Chris Guyot, and Chris Guyot and Norman. They're laughing about the people that would come, and the students would come to study because it was so quiet at baseball. and nobody knows baseball better than Billy Guicho and Chris Guyot.
Yeah.
I mean, they know it all. And, of course, Paul Maneri. I mean, here's Paul sitting there. And we talked about that impact and that personality. You go to a restaurant with him, and he's making an influence on the people there. You go anywhere with him, and he is making an impact.
Yeah.
You know, and it would, and the impact that he made on the women at LSU and women's athletics and the programs that had been underserved for years was he cared.
Yeah.
And when you care about something, you become effective.
Well, and you're
done. He cared, and he showed he cared.
And in their documentary, which was so well done, Dee Dee, when he saw what you were making, and And I can't remember if you had an assistant coach or maybe you did have an assistant coach.
By that time, I had wrangled and had a staff. By the time Skip came,
okay.
I had Bob Moore.
Yeah, all right.
Who was a fabulous, a great assistant coach, loyal assistant coach. And I had Larissa
That's
Libby,
right.
Lowing Libby, who was one of my former athletes. So I had a very good staff, but we needed more. You know, you said, well, I don't need much. I just want more, you know. But I had a staff, but we did not have the equipment that we needed to be successful. We weren't getting the uniforms and just the general day-to-day capital outlay.
Yeah.
Upgrading our equipment, our grips. I couldn't get grips in the middle of the season. I mean, it was awful. And Skip, you know, I'd go talk to him, and he'd go, "Don't, you know, they mean well. They mean well, Dee Dee. I'll buy that. You tell me what you need. I'm gonna buy it out of my booster club."
Wow.
And he would, and he would, you know, give me this big, "Oh, they mean well, Dee Dee. You just calm down and let's just put your shoulder to the wall and push and do and you keep doing what you're doing." Well, then 3 weeks later, he'd come back and tell me, "Did you feel good? Everything going well?" "Yes, sir. Everything. Yeah, I'm good. Thank
he
you
could
for
get me. Things done, man. Skip got things done.
I'm glad you feel better, Dee Dee, because that was all BS. just getting you over the hump, just not letting them beat you down. Yeah, but he was awesome.
Dee Dee, thanks for spending a few minutes talking about him. I know you; he means the world to you, and it's great hearing your voice. And it'll be gymnastic season here before you know it. We appreciate your time.
Hey, and watch out; they're gonna be awesome.
That's great. And
thanks,
you built
Dee Dee.
It. You built it with Skip's help. We'll be back after this.
The East Baton Rouge Parish Library believes that supporting the education of students is good for us all. That's why we provide access to live, in-person, online tutoring through Homework Louisiana. Make available free test preparation tools through Learning Express and Mometrics. Plus, reference tools for all ages. Get a library card. Get free education at ebrpl.com/homework help.
We're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Well, it's been a fantastic show so far. Ryan Terrio, Doug Thompson, Todd Walker, Dee Dee Bro. Let's bring in someone now as we continue to remember the life of the great Skip Bertman, who passed away last week at the age of 88. There will be a celebration of life ceremony inside the Pete Maravich Assembly Center next Tuesday night. And as Doug Thompson was telling us, ESPN Plus is streaming it. It'll be on the SEC Network, as it should be, considering what this man has meant to college athletics and specifically college baseball, and someone that bleeds college baseball and breathes it. It's Mark Etheridge of D1Baseball.com. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm honored to talk about Coach Bertman. He's such a giant in the sport, and just the impact that he's had. I'm love to talk about him.
How long have you been covering college baseball?
So I got into it in the late 90s, right as Coach Bertman was in his last few years as in the dugout before he moved up to AD. And we did have some interactions, you know, back in that day. I was trying to start a publication, SC Baseball. You guys might remember it, mm-hmm. Southeastern Baseball, where we covered, or basically I had a staff of guys trying to cover it and, you know, hustling, trying to make it work. And, I mean, LSU had a large fan base. I needed to cover LSU. So I called down and tried to get an interview with Coach Bertman. And, you know, that wasn't always easy to do. He didn't know me from anybody, really. And I was this young pup just trying to get started. And next thing you know, my phone's ringing. And there's that familiar voice on the other side. and I had this long list of questions, you know, I wanted to go through and talk to him about it. Before we could even get into that, we had to visit, right? We had to talk about life and just go back and forth on all these different topics. And he really made me feel important.
Yeah.
Right. So then we get through the interview and we're trying to wrap up. And he says something to me that stuck with me. He's like, "Did I answer your questions?" And I'm like, yeah, you did. So you're going to be able to do a good job with this story. And I don't know, something about the way he worded it, and I'm not doing it justice, but the way he worded it made me feel so important that here this giant in the sport, and by that time he certainly was that, mm-hmm. and here he was taking the time to make sure I had what I needed, and I was, you know, I was lucky to string two coherent sentences together right at that point in my career. So it was great just to, you know, it's kind of a deal where he filled your cup, right? And you took that and you were able to build from it, you know, with just that conversation.
How do you think most of the nation views Skip? I mean, he was a rock star in Baton Rouge up until he passed, and the last game he coached was in 2001, but you wouldn't have realized that. Of course, he was AD too, but he was so visible. How do you think, like, national writers and the national college baseball fans kind of viewed him as the years went on after he coached?
Well, certainly on the field, we can separate the on the field from the personality, and just on the field, all the success, all the titles, and just what he built in turning LSU into just a regular program into I call it a behemoth, and I think that's accurate, right? And everyone realizes that he was the architect of that and got it going, and really was a big part of why college baseball caught on. I mean, certainly he had some help, Ron Frazier, Ron Polk. I mean, there are a lot of guys who would share in that credit, but Skip was at the forefront of that, and as a result, you know, he's going to be remembered, you know, on Mount Rushmore, you know, for college baseball coaches. I think the other part of that is just his personality. And I don't know the right word, and I'm a words guy, but maybe it's like this masculine magnetism, right, where you walk in a room and you know he's there. And, you know, maybe you stand up a little straighter, you think about what you're going to say, you make sure you got your firm handshake ready, you know, all of these kinds of things that you prepare that you don't always do that with everyone that you meet. And he had that effect. And I'm not sure I can put a finger on, you know, what was so special that allowed him to pull that off when so many of us try, right? And he was able to do it without really even... You know, it was just natural. It was just who he was.
And he had huge hands. He had catcher's mitt hands, and he was a catcher, a very good and talented catcher at Miami Beach High when he was a player. And he probably could have gone pro, but he had some injuries and went. He always wanted to be a coach, though. But yeah, exactly. But you had a great piece on Skip that everybody should read. But what other coaches you think are like right there with Skip? When you know, I've said arguably the greatest. You know, obviously Augie Garrido won 5 as well over a longer period of time and in different eras, and then of course Coach Dito. How do you compare at USC won 11 championships? How do you compare and contrast the three?
Yeah, I mean that those are, and they're so different too because of the eras. I mean, what Coach Dito did out at USC, I mean, they dominated. They won the whole thing. You know, how many years in a row? It was a lot, right? And but then the sport changed, and what Skip was able to do and growing the sport and turning it into a spectator thing, right? And getting it on television, those are the kinds of things that the softer part of his legacy, right, that makes him stand out. The marketing part, right, making sure that fans have a good time at the game and making sure that they don't go away upset. You know, we've all heard the stories about him checking the temperature of the hot chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Those kinds of things that really, I think, are part of what we're seeing, led to what we're seeing today with just the explosion of the sport. Certainly Coach Polk at Mississippi State did a similar job just trying to build something and turn it into, I mean, that's an incredible program as well. With Augie, he was such an interesting character as well. Right? So you've got these larger than life personalities who also were super successful, and I do think the two go hand in hand because that allows you to resonate with the public, right? Because you've got these captivating personalities, and I certainly believe that led to all of their success, right? They are a big part of it. It wasn't just that they were good between the lines. They knew how to relate to people. They knew how to get people's attention, and all of that fed in to them becoming so successful.
Do you ever wonder, as much as you cover this sport, Mark, and we see how popular it is now, and I just think it's going to continue to grow. Baseball is becoming more of a popular sport, it seems like, and more and more schools are interested. But seeing where it is today, do you sometimes step back and say, man, you know, Skip and Ron and some other guys, they're the ones that started this. And maybe they never envisioned it would be like how it is now. Like, you know, opening day here in Baton Rouge is an event. It's a huge event. It's a weekend SEC series. It's big time. Watching some of these super regional series. I think you had a chance to cover the Troy super regional series. Like, yeah, that would have never been when you were starting SEC baseball. No, there was no thinking that any of that would ever occur.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, we were calling press boxes to get live scores. I mean, that's where we were. Right? So, I mean, it's come a long way. And now you're streaming all the games.
Yeah, right.
And that's been a huge game changer. And I also think that being able to move and have the development aspect of the sport now, where you're getting so many better high school players are taking the college route, and certainly LSU and Jay's doing a tremendous job of selling the LSU experience.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because of what Coach Burton is able, that foundation that was in place. And now look at what it's become. And it's a selling piece, man. I mean, who wouldn't want to play there Saturday night? And, you know, Mississippi State or Arkansas or Texas or somebody rolls in there, and that place is rocking.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Mark, we appreciate your time tonight. Thanks a lot for giving your perspective. That was a great story you told at the start of this interview when he had an opportunity to interview him as you were a young journalist. And I remember it, too. I remember calling him up. I remember after the Arizona State series in 2000, one of the games ended in a tie because...
Oh, with Pat Murphy.
Yeah.
Arizona State.
I called Skip, and I'm like, you know what? And this is obviously... I don't even know if the game was on the radio. I guess it was probably on the radio that day. But obviously no TV. I'm like, Skip, what happened here? How come you couldn't get the game? Because West Coast baseball and they take forever and all this and that. And it was just...
Oh, he was upset at Murphy. Murphy was stalling. Yeah. He was yelling at Murphy during the game. I was there. Yeah, it was funny.
So, but anyways, thanks, Mark, for your time, man. We'll certainly chat probably in January and February as we get ready for what should be a good LSU baseball team in 2027.
Yeah, it should be a really good team. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it. Good hearing from you. All right, let's go ahead and take another break. When we come back, more of Tiger Rag Radio after this.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Well, it's been a fun show, despite talking about a person that is no longer with us, and that being Skip Burtman. A lot of great guests tonight. If you missed any of it, it will be up at YouTube later tonight, anywhere you get your podcast. Certainly you'll want to listen back to Ryan Terrio, Doug Thompson, Todd Walker, DD Bro. We just had Mark Etheridge on from D1 Baseball giving their thoughts about Skip Burtman and what he meant to all of them. So been a terrific show. One thing that I never really thought of, and I've seen this a lot with people just posting it on social media, and these are, I would say, casual sports fans, if you would, saying the reason why I like baseball is because of Skip Burtman. He made me take interest in the sport. Now, winning obviously helps, like, right? Everybody loves a winner. And LSU won a lot in the 1990s, and it was hard not to get caught up in it. And I'd never thought about that before. I don't know why that never kind of clicked in my head. You know, why so many people, and I'm talking more on, especially on the female perspective, that you would call casual sports fans. I saw a lot of that kind of statements being put out there, and I never really considered that before.
Well, one of the most amazing things about Skip is that, you know, he came to LSU as a pitching coach, a pitching expert. With the Miami Hurricanes, and his early teams, I mean, he put all kind of pitchers in Major League Baseball: Ben McDonald, Russell Springer, Curtis Laskanik, O'Donohue, Eric Hetzel, all kind of pitchers, and he kind of played a little small ball, and then he went total gorilla ball. You know, I mean, he completely reversed. It was right. It's like if Nick Saban woke up one day and became an offensive coordinator and started calling plays. But I mean, he won the 96 World Series in the most dramatic and exciting fashion you could. And then he followed that in 97 with the team that still holds the record for home runs, 188. So those were two incredibly exciting teams. And the 98 team also hit a bunch of home runs, too. And if you remember the opener of the World Series, that first Saturday in 98, they hit like six home runs. They had six different guys hit home runs. So I think that was very spectator friendly, you know, and that really caught it on. And then of course they made the bats smaller, so he changed again and kind of went more pitching and not as much power, and won another national championship. So he was a very viewer friendly coach. The way his teams played, they were just really exciting, kind of risk taking teams, and those periods I just talked about, that's when the TV really started to catch on to baseball, and they switched from the 8-team regional to the 4 teams and super regional in 1999, and that was really a good idea. And then they switched to the 3-game championship series as well. So he was really in the middle of the sport becoming a TV sport.
He was a great coach. He was a great mentor, and he was he marketed the sport very well.
No question about it. He was like a businessman. You know, when Todd said it when he first started practice before his first season, Skip was never there. Yeah, because Skip was out getting money for the program and raising money and getting stuff built. You know, he was having things built to that stadium every year and improving the coaching's office.
Little playground for the kids and all that kind of stuff.
Every year they made the stadium bigger. And a lot of times he would show up at practice like with his briefcase and a suit on and like at the end of practice, and he'd start telling them how to do this, and then he'd go change and come back. But he did it all. He was a great coach in the dugout. He was a motivator and marketing.
Man, it's amazing what he the mark that he has left. Let's take our final break. We'll come back. We'll give some brief thoughts on football, and then we'll call the show. This has been Tiger Rag Radio. Stay tuned. One more segment to go.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was the life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio. So a brief synopsis on football. Nobody's gotten hurt. No major injuries. Sam Levitt's moving well. First team defense pushed the first team offense pretty good in the scrimmage on Saturday. I think those are all good things, Glenn.
Yeah. And there hasn't been any major developments.
Right.
And, you know, there's been some guys they've looked at in the starting role. Yeah. They've been moving people around. Caden Durham has not been running with the first team a lot.
But, or the second team.
Right. But you never know. Sometimes they're just looking at guys.
Yeah.
But that has been consistent. So, and the offensive line looks good beyond just the starting five. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear that a lot in August, but I think he does have maybe 6 or 7 guys that could really be dominant.
It's just so hard to tell. And I know there are some out there really trying to blow up these practice sessions that the media gets to see, but you really are not seeing anything.
No, you're not seeing anything. And when you leave, they could flip the guys.
If someone was having a bad day or a good day, they were having like a bad or a good day for like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And so it's tough. We just got to wait. And I think the biggest thing is to try to get through this thing injury-free and see what happens against Clemson. Since we've been talking about Skip Bertman, and it's been a terrific show, again, want to thank our guests, Ryan Terrio, Doug Thompson, Todd Walker. It was great when we had Doug and Todd on, and then me and Glenn, we went out and had a drink.
They took over the show, man.
Came back. They were still talking. It was great. D.D. Bro, Mark Etheridge. So it was a terrific show, and I think it comes at a good time because obviously this state was saddened by the loss of Skip Bertman on Friday. And there's one other person I want to mention that also we've lost here recently, and that's Joe Dean Jr. It kind of you know, he's not been in the limelight here lately. I understand he's had a lot of health issues in his final years in life. Of course, he is the son of Joe Dean Sr., the former LSU athletic director. And I got to know Joe Dean Jr. on a personal level when I was a young broadcaster and I was trying to learn and the tricks of the trade. I had the opportunity to do stats for some of the Jefferson Pilot games back then. And it was Joe Dean Jr. and Tim Brando were usually the broadcasting crew for those SEC games. And, you know, Tim was Tim, right? I mean, he was the star, and so I was just a little pipsqueak kid out there. And but Joe Dean Jr., he would certainly talk to me, and he would engage with me quite a bit. And he used to be, and Tiger Rag Radio has been going on for a long, long time. He used to be a frequent guest on this show when he was covering SEC basketball as a color analyst, and he passed away here recently at the age of 72.
Yeah, Joe Dean Jr. He was a Baton Rouge native, grew up in Baton Rouge, played basketball at Baton Rouge High with Jay Darden. They were teammates at Baton Rouge High in the 70s, and Joe Dean Jr. played at Mississippi State, was a starting guard for Mississippi State for Kermit Davis Sr. Kermit Davis' son, Kermit Davis Jr., was an assistant coach under John Brady. And John Brady and Joe Dean Jr. were graduate assistants at Mississippi State at the same time in the 70s and became great friends. John used to come with Joe Dean Jr. to Baton Rouge and stay at the Dean household, and he became friends with Joe Dean Sr. That helped him eventually get the job at LSU. Joe Dean Jr. was an assistant basketball coach at Kentucky under Joe B. Hall during the great rivalry years of Dale Brown versus Joe B. Hall, LSU and Kentucky years, and then he was a coach at Birmingham Southern. He was AD at Birmingham Southern, then went into business and broadcasting. He actually did Auburn color when I was covering Auburn for the Mobile paper when Cliff Ellis was the coach. But yeah, just a wealth of information. Yeah. Nice guy. His son Scott Dean was in the LSU Sports Information Office for years as a student assistant when Herb Vincent was the SID and with Michael Bonnet as well. So just a great guy and Baton Rouge native and SEC expert.
Yes.
Was friends with Sean Toohey and the former Ole Miss guard and Jimmy Sexton as well. Just a lot of contacts. Right. Great guy.
Well, we'll be back with you again next Tuesday night here on Tiger Rag Radio. Of course, that'll be also the same night as the celebration of life for Skip Bertman, so we'll figure out how to integrate the two. But until then, check out all the great stuff at TigerRag.com. If you missed any of this show, you can get it anywhere you get your podcast, or it'll be posted up to YouTube here soon. For Case Kieschnick, Glenn Gilbo, I'm Jeff Palermo. Have a great night, everyone.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.